There's something powerful about the Bible. This is God's word. It changes people's lives. But what we need to do as a church, what's going to separate us from other churches is I don't want to be a church that teaches about the Bible. I want to be a church that teaches the Bible. There's a difference. Everybody can say what you want to believe and then pull a verse or two in. That's easy to do. That's why there's so many churches and so many beliefs. But if you would take the Bible in its context and preach it as the way it is, it's difficult. It requires study, and these things are hard to hear. But we want to be a church that's known for proclaiming and teaching the Bible. Sunday mornings, I got a speaker by my shower. I put that speaker on, and usually I'm in there dancing and singing. But sometimes Sunday morning, like this morning, I turned on a preacher that I kind of enjoy, and I was like, I'm going to let this guy fire me up a little bit. And as I was listening to preaching, getting ready to come here, one of my favorite things to do, to tell you the truth, is I love preaching. I get on YouTube all the time and listen to messages, music too, but a lot of preaching. It's one of my favorite things to hear people communicate God's word. And I'm a little fired up this morning because this guy didn't preach the Bible. Like, I was like, oh my gosh, I wanted to get off and slip on the bathroom floor and crack my head on the toilet, Like a little life in the room, Let's bring some paramedics and liven this place up a little bit. So I want to be a preacher this morning. I want to preach God's word. So I'm going to do the whole chapter, John chapter 20, but I got 3 points this morning. I'm just going to nail 3 things down. So go to John chapter 20. And of course, we know Jesus Christ had just been crucified. And we hammered that that chapter 19. But look at John chapter 20. And let's just read together. I'd like to read verses 1 through 18. Are you ready? The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. So she goes to the tomb where Jesus was, and there's no rock. There's no door. Verse 2. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth and the other disciple and came to the sepulchre. Verse 4 says, and they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. Notice who was first to the sepulchre? Mary. It was Mary. Mary was first. And when she seen nobody there, then she ran and told Peter and John, the disciple, the author of the book, but he calls himself the disciple. He don't call himself by his name. He'll say, man, the disciple that Jesus loved. And it says in verse 5, and he, once they got there, he stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, and he... it says, yet went he not in. So John gets there first. They're on a foot race. John looks in, right? And it says in verse 6, then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Kind of interesting. I like how the story unfolds, and sometimes I think you're seeing personalities here. Peter was always known to be bold and loud, and so Mary looks in and is like, hey guys, he's not here. I think somebody took the body. So Peter and John run to the tomb. And John gets there first, and John looks in, and he's like, oh my gosh, And two, it's a little creepy. I mean, there's somebody dead inside, That's kind of like the thinking of it. And Peter, with no hesitation, goes right in. Here's our guy that's kind of loud a lot of times. And I just love this about Peter. Sometimes it gets him in trouble, but oftentimes not. It says, then went it also the other disciple. Once Peter went inside, John was willing to follow, and so which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. So notice what it says about John. He went in, and he seen it too, the clothes lying there, no body, and he believed, man, he's not here. It says, watch verse 9, this is a cool verse. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. So John goes in and sees the clothes laying there, but he doesn't see, the burial clothes are laying there, but he doesn't see Jesus, and it says he believed. Because Jesus said this was going to take place, right? Now, folks, what's interesting about this is it says They knew not yet the scripture that said, you know, he must rise again from the dead, even though Jesus told them this. Did you know Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says this? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Like, they didn't have the verse yet, but John went in and seen it, and the Bible says, man, he believed. And guys, I want you to know something. We got a completed Bible this morning. And we should take God at his word. What he says is true. We got it and we can believe. We can believe what it says. But John goes in and sees that, man, nobody's there. And the Bible says that he made it pretty clear. He believes, man. Look at verse 10. Then the disciple went away again unto their own home. Peter and John go home. Let's keep reading. It says in verse 11, But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. You guys remember the first time she ran here and seen, she was pretty upset, man. They've taken the body of Jesus. John at this point's got it down. He believes. He's not here. He's resurrected from the dead. Verse 12 says, But she seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. They say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they've taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, but watch this, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, isn't that kind of an odd? She knew not that it was Jesus. Verse 15, Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me whence thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Maybe he's the gardener, the keeper of the tombs there. In verse 16, and Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Finally, she looks and sees Jesus' body, assuming he's the gardener. Why doesn't she know it's Jesus? She'd walked with him. He's the one that changed her life. Well, there's a couple thoughts behind that, but just remember this. He'd just been beat to pieces. He'd been scarred bad. The Bible says unrecognizable. So Mary just turned around and, you know, and you've seen it. The way I kind of imagine it is, you know, in public, you ever see somebody that's been through a major fire and their whole face has been burned? I kind of picture that a little bit because you just want to look. It's like creepy a little bit. You're like, oh my gosh. You know, she don't know it, but guess what? As soon as he said her name, she knew it was the Master. He said her name. It says in verse 17, Jesus saith unto her, Hey, touch me not. For I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Let's stop for a minute and just investigate some of this stuff, because it's kind of fun. You know, what's beautiful about the story is I love, Mary was the one that seen him first, but she ran to Peter and John, right? So we've seen that Peter and John, as they, you know, one looks in, the other one went in, and then the other one followed, and they're like, man, John says he believed. And the scripture hadn't been there yet, so we see that little point. We got a completed Bible now, we can get it, right? We weren't there. But it says in verse 10, the disciples went home. Isn't this interesting what verse 11 says? Verse 11 says, but Mary, she stood without. The two top dogs of the 12, at least the top three, they go home. And Mary stood there struggling, maybe not quite believing yet at this point, I don't know, and she stood there crying. Guys, the beautiful part about this for me is I like the difference of opinion, you know, like their personalities and how they do things. That's, we're humans, right? And Jesus meets us all right where we're at. Mary stood there weeping, wondering where's his body? Where have they laid him? She's not quite getting it yet. But what I love about this is the Bible says, and Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. She stood there. Guys, the disciples went home and Mary stayed. Because she stayed, because of her tears, because of her desire and her inquiring, she's seen the resurrected Savior first. She's the first one that heard his voice. And I think, hey, it seems like there's some doubt here, like she didn't quite believe. But she stayed. And she cried. I don't know about you, but like a lot of times when we do things at the church, you know, some people come right before church, and when church is over, they leave. I get it. You know, you got things to do, right? But I'm here to tell you, folks, a lot of times the good stuff happens early or the good stuff happens late. The last time we did a Super Bowl for the college football team, we had 6 young men get saved. We cleaned up the place and most people left. There's always a handful or two that stay. Everything's cleaned up, and you know what we do every year? And we've done this now for 15 years. We usually circle up and say, guys, let's pray. Let's reminisce on what God has done. We talk about what's happened. And there's funny things that happened, you know, during the, I'll give you one of my favorite stories. I had a, I found like a cheerleading skirt, Mama Scott's cheerleading skirt. And I bought it. And at the Super Bowl party, there's nothing but guys in the room. So I'm like, it don't matter now. So I just like, okay. I got $20 here cash, whoever will get in this skirt and get up here and dance for us just for 20 seconds. Well, I had one of the linemen said, man, I'll do that. And so it had to be the 380-pounder get up. And he took this skirt and he put it up over his sweatpants. And I said, whoa, 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 whoa. That don't count. Anybody would do that. No, we got to see those legs. Man, not just guys, you know. And guys, man, the funniest thing ever. I said, get on up here and let him have. And he, remember he worked his way up, but he steps through, and this dude's shaking and we got music going. Well, I had no clue when he whipped off those sweatpants. He was wearing no underdraws under it, man. Oh my gosh. I literally was like, put away the cell phones. Good night. We're at a church and we got a guy up here, but we ended up giving him $50 for that one. I said, dude, I had no clue. I apologize. That's going to be all over the internet. Here's $50. And he was happy for it. I let him keep the skirt. So I was on a mission trip one time and we were talking the next morning about what God had done the day before. And there was a person that said, why don't I remember that? And I said, because you went to bed. You just left early. You know about it now and it's great. I was there. I loved it, man. I like that. So guys, let me make a point. This is point number one today. Mary stood. The other boys went home. If I could say it this way, Mary continued. Mary endured. Do you guys remember the story in 1 Samuel 1 when Hannah could not have a baby? She could not have a child. And the Bible said that she was crying for a kid and her womb was barren. And so she finally goes to the temple and she's praying, God. They thought she was drunk the way she was praying. She was praying, but the Bible says this in 1 Samuel 1:12 that Hannah continued praying until finally Eli, the priest, marked her mouth. They thought she might have been drunk by the way she was acting. But you know what happened that day? She conceived. I don't think she would have ever conceived if she had never continued. Hannah continued. I want us to take a lesson here from Mary in this resurrected story. She stayed. She cried. She needed answers. Did you know the Bible says, if you seek the face of the Lord with all of your heart, you'll find it. Psalm says, if you'll seek the face of God, you'll find it. So if you're sitting back and you would say, I'm not hearing from God. His word is not changing me. Guys, is there a possibility that you're not continuing? That you've just got to move on? My day has got to go forward. You ever think for a second if you would wreck all of your plans and say, God, I'm not leaving? Do you remember Jacob wrestling with God? It's getting late, and he's like, hey, let go. I'm not letting go till you bless me. He continued. He continued. You know, in 1 Kings chapter 2, it even says that the Lord would continue his word, continue his progress with people if his children will continue to walk before him. God says, oh, I'll continue. But you need to make sure you continue. This is a strong verse in God's word, but go back to John chapter 8 and verse 31. John 8, 31. If you start studying what a disciple looks like, it says in John 8, 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. If you continue, you got to endure. That's when you know you're his disciple. And then you'll see his disciples in the book of Acts. They continued in prayer. Both started reading that passage in Acts chapter 2 this morning. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They continued. And guys, after this message, you know, those of you that are going to blossom and do great things for God's glory, you're going to continue when you leave here. You're going to walk with the Lord. You're going to get up in the morning and read his word and let it affect you. This ain't your only feeding time. And if it is, I feel bad for you. Eating once a week's not real great, not real healthy for you, you know. Do you remember Peter in Acts chapter 12? He's at the door. They prayed him out of jail. And so he's at the door there, and he's knocking. And this Rhoda girl, the servant girl, comes and says, I think it's the spirit of Peter. She was freaked out. She just assumed he's in prison or get killed by now. She goes back inside and says, and Peter continued knocking. He continued, and that door was opened. That door eventually was opened. But guys, he stayed. He stayed. Man, let's learn something from Mary. Did you know the second missionary journey that Paul makes in the book of Acts? Twice. You know what it says? Twice we find out. In Acts 13 and 14, it says that the apostle Paul went around to the churches that had been established, and he says this, persuading them to continue. Chapter 14 says he exhorted them to continue in the faith. Don't give up. Stay after it. Continue. And you will see the face of God. You will hear his voice. Mary proved it to us. Paul tells young Timothy, hey, continue in the things that thou hast learned. Just continue, Timothy. And guys, another good word you could probably put here would be to endure. To endure. It's what Jesus did on the cross. He endured it, right? Endure hardness as a good soldier. There's something special about people that are willing to stay. There's something special about people that will continue. People that will endure. I had some people tell me not terribly long ago that, I mean, life, they're doing so much for the church. They're so busy. Like, I'm just getting tired. I was able to sit back and just say, what about her? What about that guy? Because they've been here 16 years longer than you have. They're still doing it. They're staying. They're enduring. They're continuing. I just want to encourage you with this practical point on Mary. When the disciples went home, hey, what about Moses and Joshua? Remember they go up into the mountain? All of a sudden God's giving them the book and the word and God's speaking. All of a sudden the Bible says at one point Moses heads back down. He passes Joshua and he's like, the Bible says, and Joshua stayed. He stayed. I want to encourage you today. Some of you, man, changed all the time. You get bored easy. I'm kind of that way. I got the attention deficit problem. I always have had it. It's hard for me to stay focused on something at one time. When I came to Monmouth, Illinois, guys, I'm from a big city. I like a big city. I like the buildings. I don't mind the traffic. I like the noise. I like being crowded. There's something that feels at home. I remember the first time they decided to play Capture the Flag out in this cornfield, in this wooded area. Well, I'm not from the woods. You know, and so I got out there, and as the sun started going down, I realized that I'm going to poop my pants today. I'm scared out here. I don't like, you know, just all that nature and being out there. Now, I've grown up a little bit since then, and I enjoy some of that stuff, but I'd much rather, you know, I'd rather 10 o'clock at night drop me down in the city. You know, and I'm not a very fast runner, but at least I could talk my way out of some problems. I feel like it's going to be okay. I'll be all right down there. Put me in the middle of a cornfield. You've seen Children of the Corn. It's dangerous. It's dangerous out there. I prayed and said, God, please, when I moved to Monmouth, I said, let me be here a long time. I'm prone to wander. God, I like big things and I like things that are new. Things move very slowly here, and sometimes it kills me. I'm not going to lie. It kills me. Until God reaches down, I open his word in the morning, he just says, won't you stay with me? Stay with me. I'm like, all right. I'm not going to go anywhere, God. I don't feel comfortable. I don't like what's happening right now, but I'm going to endure right now, just like Mary did. And guys, I always, always see Jesus. He always speaks to me. Can you imagine that? Mary getting ready. That's what it says next. You ready for this? Look at verse 19. Then the same day at even being the first day of the week when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled. Notice it's the first day of the week. I like this. The disciples were assembled. It says the doors were shut, right? For fear of the Jews. They just killed Jesus, man. And they're Jesus followers. And so as they came Jesus and he stood in the midst and said to them, peace be unto you. So Mary went and told the disciples what she'd seen and what she had heard. And now verse 19, they all got the door closed in their inner room assembled for the fear of the Jews. Hey, you think the Jews are scary? Wait till you sit around in the middle of a prayer service and open up your eyes and there stands the Lord. The doors are shut, you know. That's why you wonder why the first thing that came out of his mouth says, when he, it says at the end of verse 19, he stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. He had to say the word peace to them. Because I guarantee at that moment, there was no peace in the room. They were probably terrified. Verse 20, and when he had said so, he showed unto them his hands and his side, where they pierced his side. There were the disciples. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. They were glad. They seen him. He's resurrected from the dead. Now the Bible says that John believed when he left it. But now he really seen. Before he just seen that he wasn't there. Now they seen that he was alive. There's a difference. There's a difference. Verse 21. Then said Jesus to them again, hey, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Then it says, whosoever sins ye remit, that ye remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. So, next little section here, I'd like to make a second point. This is the spot where the disciples are behind the closed door, right? And Jesus appears unto them. And don't get weird. I'm not going to preach the weirdness of this passage. Because you know what people do today? If you get into the right church, there's people that will breathe like on people, or the preacher will take his coat off and wave it. And he thinks he's like giving the Holy Spirit to people. And that's ridiculous. If you'd studied the nation of Israel, the Jews and signs, you would see what this is all about. But Jesus breathed on them. But I want you to take notice that when he breathed on them, notice he said, peace be unto you. And then he said this. He said, peace be unto you. But he said, as the Father sent me, even so I send you. I was dead, now I'm alive, and I'm going to send you guys to planet Earth. Well, that's a big task, because he tells them in the book of Mark, you're going to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And when he says that to them, then he breathed on them and they received the Holy Ghost. Basically, he gave them a task, but they would never have enough fuel to get the job done. So we had to breathe the Holy Ghost on them. Now, we know that once the New Testament, the Bible starts being complete, God moves in the book of Acts from the nation of Israel. There's like seven different ways people get the Holy Spirit in the Bible. Now, people receive and believe in Jesus Christ, and he takes his Holy Spirit, Ephesians 1 says, and puts it inside of you to be the seal of your salvation. That's the fuel you're going to need to do the job. Jesus said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore into all the world. You need power to do this job. You can't do it on your own energy. You can't do it on your own strength, right? It's impossible. So that's why we see this portion of it. But I wanted to point out something here. The thing that I just want to blows my mind is the same thing that blew your mind. It clearly said here that all the disciples were afraid, so they closed the door where they were assembled out of fear of people, and all of a sudden Jesus appears in the midst. He didn't knock. He didn't turn the door handle. He appeared. So guys, here's the second thing I just want to encourage you with today. We're human. When doors close, they close. There's some doors you can't even manipulate open, right? I just want you to know that closed doors are nothing for our God. There's no barriers to him. Now, we've got barriers, you know. How long can you hold your breath underwater? You know, well, not very long, right? When you find closed doors in the Bible, you know, doors, they're like a physical barrier. When there's a fire in your house, they say, be careful, open those doors. Why? You open it, oxygen comes and feeds the fire, right? And it'll tend to really blaze up. But sometimes we do it for safety. At nighttime, you close your door, and some people say, hey, did you lock the door? You know, you want to lock that. It makes you just feel safe, right? Even though you've seen all the cop shows and they show up to doors and kick the door in. You ever see that? It's like, you don't think a thief can kick that door in? Hold on. Not to scare you. I'm just letting you know. Why do we put doors and locks there? It just makes us feel better. That's why. Are you any safer or any better? Probably not. But it makes you feel better. I had one guy remove the sliding doors off the back of his house because he said, did you know thieves say they're easier to get in than regular doors? I said, well, man, put a regular door in and give me $100 and I'll wake you up tomorrow. You know, if you feel safer, like, you know, but I know what they're saying. But here, there's some privacy too. You know, you close the door because there's a privacy. And so they're in here and they're all private together. Some people close doors because, like, it's cold during the week out here. So it's cold in my office. You can shut the door and it'll contain the heat in there a little bit better, right? You come out in the hallway and you're like, whoa, it's 20 degrees chilly out here, you know? It's true. So a lot of times people like to control the climate by closing the door. In spring, you'll open your door up and let the screen and the breeze come through, right? So doors, that's what they're used for. That's what they are. And as much as I like this story because sometimes I want to control my own climate. That's what I want to do. I want to, like, be private. Most people, when they want to indulge in, depends on what kind of sin you're going to indulge in, you know. Most people are not usually, you know, they're not out and about. You're not while you're waiting on your number three volume meal at McDonald's chopping cocaine on the counter. You don't, well, you do that privately, you know. That's frowned upon in this establishment, you know. And so that's, we like to sin in the dark or in the private. And these kind of can be what doors are. And I just, what this story does for me is, you know, is anything held secret from the Lord? The Bible says he sees it all. Like, who do we think we are? We always want to kind of block him out, and he lets us know closed doors are nothing for him. And some of you like to shut him out of your life. And you shut him, you're going to keep him out? I got news for you. Especially these are the disciples. If you are a Christian and you know Jesus Christ, hey gang, he's inside of you. The Holy Spirit's, you take him everywhere you go. You might try to get him out and have this, but he's there. And that's what I like about this. Closed doors are nothing for our God. Did you know when people prayed in Acts 12, the door opened? Paul prays to the church and he says, guys, can you continue in prayer in Colossians chapter 4? You continue in prayer that doors would be open for me to utter the gospel. Would you pray that doors could be opened? Supernaturally, prayers can open doors, right? Natural events. What about the guys in Acts 16 that were, all the prison doors were closed and all of a sudden an earthquake came? Everybody's loose. Yeah, God can use natural things in our lives to open doors, natural events. In Acts 5, it was an angel that opened a prison door. Yeah, that's kind of wild and supernatural, isn't it? Peter, what about human persistence, the staying? Peter, knock, 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 knock. And it got so persistent that eventually that door was opened. All those things are great, but the best one has just got to be here. In John 20:19, they're all sitting around and Jesus just stood in the midst. By the way, it happens again in verse 26. Go down to verse 26. After 8 days again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus and the doors being shut, and he stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." He did it again, you know, because Thomas hadn't seen. So I want you to know, a lot of things can open and close doors. Jesus goes through them. Do you see it? I want that to encourage your hearts today. And some of you that like feel like you're in hiding, and you're just, I'll tell you what you're doing, is you're just setting yourself up for misery, man. That's what you are. It's like watching a good horror film. I don't like scary movies. You're living one. You keep trying to close him out. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh, he's there in the midst, isn't he? Yes, he is. Hey, disciple, he's inside of you. He's everywhere. You think you're closing him out. You think you're being a tough guy, a tough gal. And all of a sudden, you're going to find yourself in the middle of the night screaming your guts out. Why? Because he's there. Woo! Closed doors. They're nothing for our God. They're nothing for him. Just remember that. Closed doors are nothing for him. Speaking of closed doors, we haven't been on Model College campus. We want to get God's word on that campus. It right now just appears to be a closed door. Well, the Bible says it's not that God ain't working there. The Bible says that's a situation where we pray, God, would you give us doors of utterance? Those doors would open up and that we could go in, right? So let's learn something from Mary today. She stayed and continued. Anybody need to hear that word today? Hey, continue. You're not doing so good. You're not continuing. You're onto something else. No, you better continue seeking the face of the Lord. Number two, the next second point I wanted to make was the closed doors. We've seen it with the disciples, and then we see it with the disciples a second time. This time it was kind of for, I think, Thomas. But that door is still closed. And just remember this, that closed doors ain't nothing for the Lord. And I don't know if it's a timing issue. I don't know what the deal is. But I trust my God with closed doors. Because you can keep me out of your life. You ain't going to keep him out, right? Hope that encourages you. Let's looked at verses 19 through 23 here. Let's start in verse 24. It says, "But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came." When Jesus came the first time, Thomas wasn't there. So in verse 25, "The other disciples therefore said unto him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said unto them, 'Except I shall see in his hands and the print of his nails, put my finger to the print in the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe.'" Thomas was just stubborn. People call him doubting Thomas. Thomas was doubting and just said, "Hey, you guys can say what you want, but I'm going to have to touch this thing, man. I'm going to have to see that it's real." And so it's interesting. Mary had seen and heard. She goes to the disciples and says, "Hey, here's what happened." Then they got to experience it, right? He pops up in the middle of them and he shows them his scars and his wounds. And they're like, freaked out, you know. It's true. He's a resurrected Savior. And then now Thomas is in there and says, "Hey, guys, I'm telling you, I respect you guys, man. We've walked some journeys together." It says in verse 26, "And after 8 days again, his disciples were within and Thomas is with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and he stood in the midst and said, 'Peace be unto you.'" Same thing. And my guess, even the disciples that have already seen this once, when the doors are closed and the deadbolt's flipped over, and you look over, and in your midst is Jesus Christ, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, you will want to wet your pants a little bit. And it freaks them all out. And it says in verse 27, then saith he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger. And behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing."
And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith to him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe. So Thomas's story is pretty fantastic, and it's going to bring us kind of to the third point that I really want to make here, and that is Thomas wanted to see it, and Thomas got to put his finger in there. Most people say, man, that's disgusting, you know. And he's like, put it in, and he reaches in, and he feels it. He's like, oh, my gosh. And Thomas, yeah, he doubted for sure. And by the way, you know what's something I think is pretty sweet here? Peter and John, they got it, and they seen it. Mary, she got it. She seen it and heard. She was actually first. The disciples eventually got it, right? And the one that didn't, his name was Thomas. And guess what happens? Jesus purposed to meet him in his doubt and say, let me prove it to you. I just like that you see all these different personality types, and every one of them, God is revealing himself. Some of you in this room, you doubt a little bit more. Maybe you're married to somebody that's a doubter. It's okay. What we're doing in praying is, God, that door seems closed right now. But that ain't a closed door. God, you go in there. You can spook them. Just like you spooked me. Showed up in the middle of my night. Walked into a door, and I thought I was private. All of a sudden, you came in there, and I realized something's going on here. And here's Thomas. The door is shut. And so Simon, finally, in verse 27, it says that he's seen. And he was able to thrust and feel. And the Lord said, be not faithless, but believing. He wants you to. He really does. And so Thomas does it, and he sees it. And then Jesus says in verse 29, this is my third point, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed. Okay. So we talked about staying and continuing. We talked about when doors seem to be closed. They're nothing for our God. Let me give you a third practical point here. Thomas, you've seen, and now you believe. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe. John, who's the greatest picture of the church in the Bible, John actually looks in. He's inside the tomb and sees he's not there. And the Bible says, and John believed. Representing the church, you and me, nobody in this room, you might have thought you'd seen Jesus Christ in a dream or in a vision or something like that, but the reality is nobody in this room has put your finger inside that nail print. Nobody's thrust your hand inside of his side. My point is saying that all this is this. You're the one he's calling blessed. I'm the one he's calling blessed. I've never seen. It's called faith. Now, we got a Bible. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. I've heard the word, and I choose to believe. And the Lord says, you'll be blessed. Guys, what's blessed? When you tell somebody, hey, how are you doing today? And people say, blessed. Too blessed to be stressed. That's me. Blessed. That word does mean that the simple definition of the word blessed is happy. I'm blessed. I'm happy. It's all good, isn't it? If you study the word blessed in the Bible, you know who's blessed? Our God. The Bible says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be our God who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. He was blessed, so he blessed us, right? 1 Timothy 6:15 talks about Jesus Christ, who is the only blessed King of kings and Lord of lords. It calls Jesus Christ blessed. You know the standard of happiness? Listen to this. This is super powerful. The standard of happiness is Jesus. The standard of happiness and blessedness in the Bible, it's God. He's the standard. Because some of you think if you just had a better job, you'd be happy. Wrong. If I just had a different wife, I'd be happy. Wrong. Or maybe I should switch that one on. Becky always thinks, if I just had a different husband, I'd be happy. No, you wouldn't. I'm telling you. But I'm not the key to happiness. If I just had more money. There's things that you thought would make you super happy. And you prayed and prayed and prayed, and God gave it to you. And you're sitting here today, several years removed from the miracle he's done. And you're not happy today. Because you had the wrong standard of happiness. That's why. It's the wrong standard.
You thought it was going to do something. You know, the Bible says here, blessed are those that have not seen and yet believe. Did you know we're all born in sin, right? Anybody in here born in sin? Everybody should raise their hand. We're all born in sin. And the Bible says that brings with it no joy, no peace, no real contentment and happiness. That's why the Bible says in Romans, he says, hey, blessed art thou whose iniquities are forgiven. Because you got a whole weight of sin on you. There ain't no way to be happy in the middle of that mess. There ain't enough meth to make you smile. It's true, at least not for long. Blessed is the man whom the Lord will not impute sin. He's the standard. He's the one that can remove it. So the Bible says, blessed are what? Believers. Blessed are those that have not seen and yet they believe. You're blessed, meaning you're happy. You're on it. The secret to this is your faith, isn't it? It's true. I like other ways in Scripture God says this, just like, hey, blessed are those that eat bread in the kingdom of God. Oh yeah, you're saved, right? Blessed are they that are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's us! We're blessed. That's what His Word says. Blessed are believers. You know one reason why we're seriously blessed? That's why our God at the beginning of time, you know, when everything was perfect, there was no sin on the planet. No sin. Once sin entered in, things changed. God removed man from the garden. Later on, once sin is dealt with completely and the second coming of Christ has happened, the tree of life will appear again and there will be no sin. They're like, well, no, that's the gauge of happiness again, right there. But everything in between, sin seems to be messing things up, right? But God, who can't look upon sin, when Jesus came and took our sin, that's why Jesus hanging on the cross, he said this, what kind of dad would forsake their kid? Well, when Jesus took my sin, when Jesus took our sin, and the Bible says God is holy and can't look upon sin, and God turns his back on his own son. Because why? Because of me. Because of you. Because of our sin. Because God's blessed. How many times do you see people in life? It's really sad. You'll watch people in life who think they're pretty happy. They think they've got it all together. And all of a sudden there'll be a wayward child. And you'll watch this wayward child who then sometimes we enable them and allow them and they come in and they start ruining everybody's lives. Oh, why? Well, it's because of sin choices. You know, and you'll stand up and at one point you'll just say, you know, well, you ain't going to do that in my house. You talk all tough. 6 months later, they're doing it on your porch. A year later, you'll let them inside. It's like a sick thing that happens here. But Jesus Christ, who's blessed, our God who's blessed, and that's why, you know, it's the principle of even church discipline. What kind of church would tell people to leave? Probably a good godly church. Because when you're godly and want to be like Jesus Christ and somebody wants to bring their sin issues and not do what the Bible says, they're not going to affect the rest of us. My gosh, if your finger's infected and they can't stop it, they're like, well, we can save your life by cutting your finger off. You are not taking my finger. Okay, then we'll take your life here in a few months. That's how that works. They got to take it off, right? So I just love the beautiful picture of blessed and happiness here. Blessed are those that have not seen and yet believe. I want you to know something today. You might not have the exact food in your cupboard that you want. You might not have the exact amount of money in your checking or savings account that you want. You might not be driving the exact car you would like. This year, you might not be able to take the vacation that you really think you want or that you deserve even. But the Bible clearly says, if you believe in Jesus Christ and believe this book, you're blessed. And if you don't want to believe Him, then you're just going to be unhappy. You're going to quench God's Spirit. We're blessed, man. It don't get any better. That He has brought His word to me, and God, by faith, I know one day my faith will be sight and I'll see it. The Bible does continue this on, this whole blessed concept, but it's always, blessed are ye that hear my word and keep it. That's what it says. Blessed are you that do the work and not just believe it. No, you read, you hear, and then you do something about it. You're going to be obedient to the Bible. And the Bible uses that same word, blessed. So that's why Mary, do you guys remember Mary? Not the Mary here, but Jesus's mom, Mary. When they said, hey, you're going to have a baby. We read at the beginning of John, you're going to have a baby. She's like, well, how can that happen? I'm a virgin. I've never been with a man. Well, that's the miracle behind this. You're going to be with child of the Holy Ghost. And the Bible starts explaining this whole thing to her. And then later on, even with their cousin, you know, it gets said about Mary. It says, man, you know why she's so blessed? Blessed is she that believes. Because there's going to be a performance of what was said to you. And sure enough, time went and Mary's like, oh my gosh. It wasn't like, you know, us guys are like, Becky tells me she's pregnant. I celebrate with her. We're happy just because there's a plus sign on a little bit of thermometer or something like that. I don't know how that thing works. But you know what it takes for me? I'm like, it's true. Or she'll say, feel this. Or you go hear that heartbeat for the first time. That's when, I don't know what you ladies do. Maybe you doubt too. But as guys, I'm just like, yeah, whatever. She's just gaining weight. I've been telling her for a while she needs to lose weight. And all of a sudden, poof, it's there and it's real. Hey, blessed are you that have not seen and yet you believe. I want to encourage you today. Don't get any more blessed than the seat that we're sitting in this morning. Number one, Mary stayed and continued. And God, she seen Jesus and God spoke to her. Some of you, I'll tell you right now, you're not continuing. You're not staying. Two, closed doors. Some of you feel like hindered, like them doors ain't open. Man, our God's not hindered by closed doors. As we pray and say, God, I know you can open this door. I mean, and even trouble, some of your trouble in your life, you want to be like so private, like to almost keep him out of this whole thing. Guys, he's right there in the midst. So just remember, God, so many different ways has opened doors in the Bible. Closed doors are nothing for him. That's the problem with us. We come to church prayer and we pray like, you know, it's almost like a little bit, you know, the horoscope. You know, we're always praying like, you know, you open up the Chinese fortune cookie, you always read it. You're just like, huh, you're going to stumble upon some wealth. Well, there's a chance that could happen, but it might be when you're 90 years old. And, you know, the 401k comes and you're like, oh my gosh, I've never had this much money. Well, enjoy it because you're going to die next week. You know, that's how that works, you know. So you want to read that stuff and say, what? Like, we pray this way, though. Hey, like, God, please bless my family. Hey, God, keep my family safe. Do you know the chances that your family's going to be safe? They're pretty high. Really, if you look at the stats of people that get shot in the face, they're pretty low. And we had that terrible airplane crash in D.C. Guys, that's the worst crash in like 25 years. That don't happen. People are afraid to fly sometimes. But you're actually safer in a plane than a car. All the thousands of people that travel every day and it goes to get killed on the highway. Do the math on that. You're probably going to be safe. So that's when, you know, pray for traveling mercies. Pray that we would drive safe. I get it, but your chances are pretty good. There's people out there that don't know the Lord and they're not praying, and most likely they're going to get to Oklahoma too. It's true, and I'm not saying you don't pray for safety. I still pray those things. But what about praying something that's a little beyond that? Like praying things that are going to take the Lord, these open doors. Praying things that are just so big and so massive that our God has got to come through. The miracle prayers. And believe that he can do it. He can. And then when he does it, the whole world knows, like, that was the Lord. It's like sitting in a room with the closed door and everybody going, holy night. It's the Lord. Yeah, that's exactly right. Closed doors are nothing for him. And then the third thing I just want to encourage you with today is look at this whole story and how they're reacting to the resurrected Savior. You and me, we've already reacted to it. I asked Jesus to save me from my sin. When he took my sin and buried it and resurrected 3 days later, then I accepted him and I got new life.
I'm blessed. I'm blessed. So on the way to work tomorrow, when you get a flat tire, I'm not saying you know, I don't want a flat tire. I'm not going to sit on the side of the road and sing, you know, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I don't think. Maybe I will. I don't know. So things like that will happen. But deep down, I know just flat tires happen. It don't change anything. I know the Lord. I've believed in Him. I've got salvation. Whether you've had four flat tires or no flat tires, what's the difference? I mean, really, the Bible says, you know, we're all going to end up in the casket one day. How you get there is going to be different. We all got different routes we're going to take. At the end of the day, where will we be after that? The Bible says He promises us eternal life. I'm so blessed. The crummiest things on the planet can happen to me. And since then, I know the Lord. And I've got God, and I've got the Holy Spirit of God living inside of my heart. Guys, happiness lives in me. I want to choose to be happy today. Do you realize how blessed we are? We're blessed. And I don't want to just say that because people say it and it's a cute saying. Too blessed to be stressed. I am blessed because my sins are gone. I'm blessed. That's one of the recovery points. As you recover, if you have a sin issue in your life, you're struggling to get victory. One of the ways of getting victory over sin in your life is, big picture, you might have just made a bad decision, right? But in the big picture of things, my sins are gone. That's what makes this so disgusting. I'm like a dead man doing silly things. He saved me and I'm blessed. He resurrected. So blessed are you that have not seen, and yet we believe. Amen? Everybody stand to your feet. Let's all bow our heads, and you got one of three things to deal with today. Continue. Stay. Number two, what about the closed doors? Maybe your view of closed doors are a little bit different than God's. Well, change your view. Then the third thing is, and some of you, you've been living like you're cursed. You ain't cursed. And we've believed His word. You're blessed. And some of you are not happy. Well, your standard's wrong. Change your standard to God's standard. So today, if there's anybody in this room, if you've never met Jesus Christ, you can enter a personal relationship with Him and you're going to find something. That's where the blessing flows. That's where happiness begins. Right there. Jesus, thank You for today. Thank You for Your word. Lord, I'm thankful for this church and that we were able to sing to You and just see each other and worship together. Lord, I'm thankful for all of our teachers next door that are investing and pouring into our young people. I pray for our children next door, God, that they're getting it, that they'll see that real blessing in life. And they might not get the wrong definition like many of us had for years. The real definition for happiness and success and being blessed is knowing You. So in Jesus' name I pray, amen.